Notes from the Left Forum Towards a New Strategy for the Left was the theme of the 2018 conference to counter the Trump presidency, which organizers say has brought out the most dangerous and oppressive aspects of America, rapacious capitalism and foundational racism and misogyny, out of the shadows and into a chillingly clear light. They point to a rising tide of the reactionary right all over the world. In this program, the New Sanctuary Coalition's Ravi Ragbir and immigration attorney Steve Sacco. Ragbir asks why U.S. citizens are upholding a racist system. Sacco speaks about an open border and how to put the right on the offensive. We'll begin with Ravi Ragbir. He walks around a large auditorium with a microphone at John Jay College. Ragbir asks the audience if they know ethnic cleansing is going on in the U.S. He's speaking at a panel called Ethnic Cleansing by ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, What to Do Beyond Your Rights. Here's Ravi Ragbir.
Do we have ethnic cleansing in the U.S., yes or no? Yes, all right. And this is where we need to start working from. Because if we are sticking our heads in the sand, assuming that this is the United States of America, and we are the beacon of democracy, and we are the beacon of rights, we will never stop the problem that we are in right now. So how do we know that we are in ethnic cleansing? Well, when you have a president who says that why are people from those shithole countries coming to America? Countries like the Caribbean and Africa, specifically black countries, and why don't we have more people from Norway coming in? Right? Because they do know better. But that's where the president of the United States is saying that. Not just a right-wing nut like Breitbart, or Alex Jones, the president is saying that. And you know, it now gives a validation to those crazy people who think we should make America white again. Now they are hearing from the leadership that it is okay for us to say this, and more importantly, to act. And when they are acting, they're going to act with violence. Right? So how would they do that? They can do that individually. And you know, we have churches, we have Amanda at Holy Road Church, we have Aura at Fort Universalist, New Sanctuary, has them in physical sanctuary. But when you hear that there are people who will protest and not just protest, but violently go after the church or the house of worship that seeks to say Black Lives Matter, or seeks to say that this is that the church that seeks to say that, or the synagogue, that this is a safe space, right? How they can come, they can do that, but yet we still outnumber them. Don't look at this room and think we don't outnumber them. I was told this room was going to be packed, so I'm just joking. I make bad jokes. You all know that, right? How many people know that? Everyone, right? So if you don't understand me, that's fine. Let me know, and I will change my tone or speak a little slower or softer. I understand my accent. My mother-in-law don't understand me. She has to get my wife to translate for her, so it's fine. They can act individually, but what happens if they can create an agency that can do this for them? And does that agency actually exist? It does. That name of that agency is, in fact, the overriding agency is Department of Homeland Security. But ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is the agency that is implementing this ethnic cleansing. Let's understand what Immigration and Customs Enforcement is. How many of you know, any lawyers here? Any lawyers? One, two. Okay. You don't need to apologize to anyone, but that's fine. But whenever you hear ICE is going into the courts, the criminal courts, and they're picking up people, arresting people and putting them in detention and deporting them, even while their trial is going on. Are you hearing me from this? Okay. You ask the question, how can they do that? How can they actually take people away while they have their trial? And you hear the lawyers say, well, it's a plenary agency. It's a plenary agency. It's a plenary agency. Right, Steve?
Yes.
Steve is a lawyer. Right? He didn't raise his hand, but I'm pointing him out. It's a plenary agency. And I did not know what plenary agency means until I was speaking on a panel at the Museum of City of New York, and the Columbia professor said this, and this one line. And when she said it, I was like, whoa. Plenary agency acts outside the bounds of the Constitution. It acts outside the Constitution. You have an agency that is acting outside the Constitution in the United States of America. Right? That should hit you really hard, because it means that all the protection you have under the Constitution does not exist. Because there's an agency that is there to work outside that. Right? And then when you hear the Attorney General, who is, what's his name? Jeff Sessions, right? Do we know him? You know there's so much ways to describe this guy, right? But let's say that he wears his badge of white supremacist on his shoulder, on his chest, really clearly, openly, so much so that the previous Senate had never wanted him to be in a cabinet position. He wore it really clearly, but now he is in charge of the Department of Justice. Can you imagine where that is going to go? If you look at immigration, you're looking at immigration as the way they are implementing their strategies. So even though there is a rule of law, you know, this administration talks about a rule of law, right? Rule of law, we have to uphold the law. Yet this attorney general will take cases that the immigration judges have ruled upon, and he will take it and say, no, I am going to review these cases. Cases that have been set by precedents by both the immigration judge, the Board of Immigration Appeals, and the courts itself. And he said, no, I'm going to review this. Because, you know, he has overriding power over this agency. He is in charge of this agency. So if he makes a ruling, that ruling overrides everything else. And Steve will, he may disagree with me, but I don't think he will. Are you going to disagree with me?
I don't know.
Right. There's a little more technicality than that. That's why I made sure and clearly said that the lawyers will have to disagree. There's a little more technical. But the point is that he is going to set the rules so that people, while that his ruling is going to be challenged, there are people who are going to be deported as a result. And that's what he's doing. So we are in this state. By the way, how many people know about the technicalities of immigration law? How many people know about it? All right, I always do this because I think it's so important. I'm going to be very technical, right? I apologize. If Immigration and Customs Enforcement had to come in here and identify people who are undocumented, what criteria would they use to identify those people? Say it loudly.
Skin color.
Oh, you've been in my training. So skin color. Skin color. Because you haven't spoken yet. So they're coming to me. They'll come to Judy. They'll come to Natasha. Right? They will come to us, asking us for ID because of the skin color, which makes that law racist. Which makes that law racist. So now you see how you've learned a very valuable technical lesson here about the immigration law. The immigration law is racist. And therefore, the second thing you know about immigration law, it is wrong. And why are we upholding this immigration law? Why are we, as people of the United States of America, why are you, who are citizens of the United States of America, why are you upholding this law? You shouldn't. You should not. So when they say rule of law, well, yeah, but that law is racist. I am not going to uphold that. Understanding now that this agency is hell-bent on removing people of color doesn't mean that the fight is with people of color, immigrants. The fight is not against immigrants. The fight is against you, right? Because as they take me away, they're taking away your civil rights. You know, everyone here, right now where everyone is, they can stop you and search you without a warrant. It goes against the Constitution. But they have a right to stop you and search you without a warrant. When you live 100 miles from the border, you are within the space, and 97% of the population live within those borders. Right? Customs and Border Patrol have the authority to stop and search you, and it will not be thrown out, even if they don't have a warrant. They have been slowly taking away your rights. We are at a crossroads. We are at a crossroads of history repeating itself. Can anyone tell me what history am I talking about? What am I talking about when I say history is repeating itself? The Holocaust. Thank you, Alan. The Holocaust. First, they made them the other. In fact, if you read about Hitler, you would have heard that he looked at the way the immigration policy was created in America and how he could use this to build his platform and to do what he wanted. First, they made them the other, right? Making them easier to throw common sense out the window. And then they tried to deport them. First, they tried to deport them. And then they tried to detain them because they couldn't deport them fast enough, which is where we are. They're trying to deport everyone. You know, Obama deported 3 million people. Over 3 million people. And he had detained a minimum, you know, under Obama, about 34,000 people every single day. On November 9th, we knew that those numbers were going to increase. We knew that they were going to up that number of detention to 60, 80, 100,000. Those numbers are going to start increasing. The history that I am not going to say out loud here is the next step that happened in 41 Germany. I'm not going to say it aloud. I don't want it to happen. We do not want it to happen, right? So we have to learn ways that we can stop this. The reason why this is such a critical nexus moment is because we can see it happening. A lot of us don't know what to do. We are going to start teaching you what to do because every single person here has a role to play to stop this. And we're going to continue this conversation. But I will end my moment here by saying Dr. Martin Luther King said two things that I repeat. He said everything Hitler did was legal, right? So history is repeating itself. But he said something that I have to repeat. He said, it is not the violence of my enemies that I remember, but the silence of my friends.
Thank you. Ravi Ragbir of the New Sanctuary Coalition, and you're listening to Notes from the Left Forum 2018. The panel, Ethnic Cleansing by ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, What to Do Beyond Your Rights. Up next, Steve Sacco, immigration lawyer with Legal Aid. He works with the New Sanctuary Coalition. He says he could talk about the very, very racist immigration system in the U.S., but instead, he speaks about how to put the right on the offensive in a discussion about open borders, also known as border abolition. He begins with three questions. Here's immigration attorney Steve Sacco.
Rhetorical questions of the audience that you can answer quietly to yourselves, and then we can think about together later. And I'm asking myself these questions as I'm asking them to you, really. And the questions are, do you support open borders? And if you support it, why do you say you support it? And the third question is, if you say you support it, is your position at all affected by how you think the right will react to what you say you support and the backlash that you do or do not fear from the right? So the first question, do you support open borders? Well, what do I mean by that? First of all, we have to define it, open borders, before I can ask if you support it. Do we just mean that everyone should have the free liberty to cross a border, an imaginary line? Or do we mean, and that there should be no restrictions, or do we mean more than that? Do we mean that once they cross, they should have the same rights as anyone born here, the same rights to vote, for example, or the same rights to work? And if we mean that, do we mean more than an open border? Do we mean not just the abolition of the border, but the abolition of citizenship? I would agree that we should think about that. Do we mean that citizenship manufactures privilege and therefore oppression, creates an outgroup, and that citizenship itself should be abolished? I would argue that it should. Do we mean more than that? Do we mean that nationality should be abolished? Do we mean that nationality manufactures privilege and therefore oppression, and that it too should be abolished? I would argue yes. These are conversations that we should be having on the left, that we could be having, that we're not really having. And then, of course, which of these interpretations do you support? And like I said, I asked this question because we don't talk about open borders as much as we should on the left and among immigrant rights groups. And I want to put the phrase immigrant rights in quotes for a while, because I think the term, you know, understates, by way of euphemism, the huge democratic and liberty interests at stake when we talk about migration. It's not just about migration, it's about the right to live and the right to be recognized as fully human. And the right to be free from inherently white supremacist and inherently hyper-capitalist structures that the border itself presupposes. Second question. If you do support open borders, why do you say you support them? Which is to say, do your arguments for open borders, or the ones that you make public, reinforce progressive values of liberty and equality? Or are the arguments you're making actually undermining principles of liberty and equality? So, you know, and I ask this question because, you know, in the scant literature on open borders, and it's out there, you can find it, but there aren't many authors, there aren't many people writing about it. But in the literature, you can really divide open border advocacy into two camps. There's the libertarian camp, which makes arguments for open borders on the basis of capitalistic or neoliberal ideas. And these are arguments you've all heard before. They're arguments like migration is good for the American economy, immigrants make jobs, they don't take jobs, and migration will lower poverty abroad. And these are all true, but they're inherently nationalist ideas, and they defend inherently nationalist ideas. And then there are the arguments rooted in democratic principles of liberty and equality. And those are ideas like migration is a fundamental human right, that there's no such thing as a non-racist immigration law, or that restricting some people's right to move and to work is really just a way to turn worker against worker, a way to accomplish divide and conquer on behalf of capitalism. Those are ideas that are consistent with our values on the left. They're consistent with principles of democracy and liberty and equality. So in other words, you know, the good immigrant, bad immigrant narrative is not consistent with progressive values. And so I would argue we should discard those justifications, the ones rooted in the principles that we don't agree with anyway, and adopt the ones that are consistent, the ones rooted in liberty and equality. And you know, Doc is the perfect example. We hear too often the justifications for DACA. You know, DACA kids contribute to the economy, they bring STEAM jobs, they're good for the United States. Those are all true, of course, but they're not the reason that DACA kids have a right to be here. Of course, DACA kids have a right to be here for the same reason their parents do, because they're people, and because your birthplace should not dictate your fortune in life. And you don't hear that argument as much, right? Because we don't think of it as an argument that will sort of win the day or win the middle. And so we don't make arguments consistent with our values. We opt for the economic ones, the ones that end up defending capitalism or defending nationalism. Third question. So the positions that you take publicly on an open border, whatever it is, in what way, or are those positions at all influenced by the fear of the backlash from the right? And I ask this question because I think too often we take into consideration how the right will use our views against us and how they'll use them against us to convert the middle. And so that we end up silencing ourselves and we end up giving power to the right that they don't deserve. And I would argue that we need to believe in the power of the truth to energize the left and not worry about the backlash. But the fear of backlash is a relevant one because we have a project ahead of us of denormalization and renormalization. And I say denormalization because the border controls are today, even though they're regarded as natural and normal, we regard depriving someone of their liberty and equality because of their birthplace not just as correct, but as unquestionably correct, as beyond question, such that no alternative is even imaginable, and we don't challenge the idea. And so we have a process ahead of us of denormalizing the border and denormalizing immigration law, and maybe even citizenship and nationality themselves, which is a big project, but I think it's what has to happen to create a more powerful narrative. And I say renormalization because historically, border controls as we think of them are quite new. They did not exist at the federal level in the United States prior to the late 19th century, prior to what are known as the Chinese Exclusion Acts, sort of the first big federal immigration laws that excluded people from the United States. Prior to that, at the federal level, there was almost no border restrictions. And an open border is actually the norm between, or was the norm, between European states and the European Union under something called the Schengen Agreement. People could move between European states, work, live, vote, wherever. And it remains the norm between the occasional two states here and there around the globe. For example, Nepal and India share an open border. And the borders between the 50 states in the United States, we don't think of them as open borders, but they are. They are, and we move across those borders without thinking about that movement as anything but normal, because we've normalized it. People move freely, and they work where they move within the United States, and they vote where they live in the United States, and we regard that as just. And it's even protected under the Constitution, but that's also how open borders would and could work in practice. We just don't think of it that way. So, but it did work that way in the past, and it has worked that way here and there. And so we have a project ahead of us of denormalizing the border as a normal thing, and the way we regard it. And so with respect to the backlash, I want to observe, so I have a Google alert for open borders, you know, and every day Google sends me all the articles that use the phrase open borders. And I get 10 articles a day, that's no exaggeration, and they're all from right-wing media. They're all from Breitbart or some local conservative newspaper in Kansas or what have you, using open borders as an epithet against the left. against anyone who would even acknowledge the humanity of someone not born in the United States. It doesn't really matter what you advocate in terms of humanity and in migration. They will tag it and identify it as open borders. So that is an opportunity to take control of that term and use it against the right, to adopt it and to endorse it unambiguously as our position. Yes, our position is open borders, and then force the right to defend closed borders. Put the right on the defensive, the way the left has been on the defensive for too long, and take control of the argument and frame the discussion in a way that, again, puts forward our values of liberty and equality and democracy and anti-racism and non-capitalism. And in sort of overcoming that backlash, we're really talking about fearlessness to some degree. And you know, the reason I joined the New Sanctuary Coalition some years ago is that I could see that it was such a fearless organization. It was not afraid of any backlash. It embraced the future in an extraordinary way. It would come out and say openly, deportation should be abolished, and imply in all of its language that the border should be abolished along with it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. You've been listening to Notes from the Left Forum 2018. New Sanctuary Coalition's Ravi Ragbir and immigration attorney Steve Sacco in a panel called Ethnic Cleansing by ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, What to Do Beyond Your Rights. The Left Forum took place in New York City at John Jay College from June 1st to June 3rd. Thanks to the Left Forum for their cooperation. This program was produced by Linda Perry of WBAI New York and Pacifica Radio. Thanks for listening.